This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
After a seemingly interminable wait, Ipswich Town return to action this Saturday. The start of a three-game week to decide the course of this already memorable 23-24 season. Join us here as we preview game one of three here on the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast discussing the town up or down since 2015. I'm Rich Woodward and welcome to the pre-match show brought to you in partnership with the best pub in Ipswich, the Greyhound. We're available live every Thursday at 8 p.m. on YouTube or available on podcast shortly afterwards to give you all the insight on Town's weekend match. And joining me, as I said, after a seemingly, it went on forever, didn't it, Seb Brown? But we're back talking about football at last. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank God football is back on the agenda this weekend because it feels like you say, it feels like it's been absolutely ages. And I'm not going to lie, I'm quite excitable. I feel like a kid on Christmas Eve night knowing how incredible and how amazing this next 7 days might well be. Yeah, I'm really excited, buzzing, cannot wait, and really, really thankful that it's back and I'm good to go, as I'd imagine most of the chat are tonight.
I think we've all learned a little bit about ourselves in the last fortnight, haven't we, about when Ipswich aren't playing but our rivals are, how we react to that. We are going to talk about the kind of state of play in a bit, but how do you feel emotionally you've coped in comparison maybe to others on social media, Sev?
The only game where I thought I expected something to happen was the Middlesbrough-Leeds game, if I'm honest. I always thought Leicester would win that game in hand. They had a game in hand over us for so long, and I always expected them to win that. So even when they were behind us in the league table, in my mind, I always counted them as winning that game, and therefore we weren't really top, if that makes sense. That's how I kind of sort of saw the table for the last few weeks. The Middlesbrough-Leeds game was crazy, wasn't it? Absolute crazy kind of shootout. And yes, I've seen a lot of stuff on social media, but I think, did I text you a couple of nights ago and said, you know, pre-2:59 on the day of the Middlesbrough game, after they lost to Blackburn, we had to win three games to get ourselves into the Premier League. And here we sit nearly 2 weeks later, and it's exactly the same. Win three games and you're in the Premier League. And this side that we all love and we've followed for, well, me 30 years, you 30 plus years. they're finally on the cusp of doing something incredibly memorable after years of dross. And that's why I'm so excited for it, because this could be incredible. This side hasn't let us down up until this point under Kieran McKenna, under Game Changer. They've delivered when we need them to deliver. They've gone to big away games and got results. And that's why I'm pretty confident. You know, I know it's football. I know things will change. I know things could go wrong and unexpected events might happen. But, you know, as I said, the body of work you can look back on with this manager, this ownership group, this squad of players who we absolutely adore, they haven't let us down. And I genuinely don't think they're about to start that now. So, yes, confident, excited, managed to contain the emotional expenditure quite well over the last couple of weeks. And I just say we should all absolutely look forward to it.
Yeah, hear, hear. We could also simultaneously say that Southampton To a lesser extent, Coventry and Middlesbrough have let us down. Frankly, we're not angry, guys. We're just disappointed. But
piss off, Southampton, as a wise man once said.
You said it. 3.45 minutes in. Let's say hello to the chat as well. We want to hear from you folks. We are going to try, and I know that some people have processed the last few weeks in different ways. I think we've set our stall out early, and that's how we're going to be. So hopefully that chimes with everyone else's feelings out there. Hello to Alex, first one in. Michael is here from Brisbane, have kept away from football for the last 2 weeks, and he's ready for the final run-in. Do let us know the weather in Brisbane, though, Michael. It's important that we know that. Colin is here. If, like me, you're going to Hull and Coventry, sing loud and proud, everyone, please. All night long, we are the 12th man. The lads need us. Luke Wolfenden said as much in his pre-match interview today as well. We are very much on your side with that one, Colin. Let's get behind the boys. Lee is here. I said it at the time, and I'll say it again. We would have been better with Southampton winning or drawing against Cardiff last Saturday. What will be, Lee, on that one. I think it was, as Seb has said, and I think we still subscribe to this, just win three games is our mantra. Let's not rely on other people to do our hard work for us. We put ourselves in the position where it's in our hands. It's still in our hands. Let's do it. Neil, evening. Shame we've got no more tickets for Holland Coventry games. Coventry, it'll be interesting to see how full the CBS Arena is after their Wednesday defeat. But more on that in a bit later. Also more about this later, but Rob has got in there. Great to have you with us, Rob. Great news about Hurston Burns returning to the squad for the run-in. Massive weekend. Straps yourselves in, he says. What else have we got? Lots of folk here. Great to see you all here. Colin mentioning QPR, more on them too. Streaky is with us too. Norman, if Norwich and West Brom get at least a point on Saturday after Hull will have nothing to play for. I mean, mathematically, it's not impossible, but it's improbable, isn't it? But you're right. Isn't it weird that Norwich could be doing us a favour? And as always, never bank on Norwich to do anything that is in our interest. Rusty is with us from the US. Good to have you with us, Rusty. Nick is here as well. Benjamin is here too. Richard. Hi, Richard. Seb, we are back. We are back indeed. And great to have all of you with us as well. Nick, the last three games are upon us. Here we go. I'm trying to harness our emotions from this time last year, Seb, because as Ashley rightly says, happy Barnsley Day. I don't think we were in front at this point, were we? Because it was just a half broadhead.
This was probably the start of the Blue Army chant that went on for about 5 or 10 minutes. It was about halfway through that first half, wasn't it? So 20 odd minutes past kickoff a year, 366 days ago. And we would have been right in the middle of that chant, I reckon.
Exactly right. Do you want to give us your thoughts on rewinding? We posted the live reaction that Dave and I did. I kind of mentioned it. We were the kind of only guys left in Ipswich at that point. Kind of the last person out of Ipswich to turn the lights off kind of thing. Great night, great memories, great scenes. Your recollection, Seb, because you'd ticked off all the kind of big away days, the Boltons, the Derbies. And did you imagine going into that game that we'd win that so comfortably in the end?
I was confident going into the game because, like you said, I'd been to Bolton, Derby and Peterborough a few days before. So I remember being a bit of a free hit as well because the result didn't really matter. We drew with Fleetwood on the last day, but I think we needed, 4 points from or 6 points from the last three? So even if we had a loss, I was still confident we were going to go up. And what an incredible evening that was, isn't it? Our still most watched ever reaction show to a post-match, and the memories will live with us forever. You know, the George Hurst goal is the moment, isn't it? I've ordered my Mazzella Designs print today. We retweeted that from the account earlier. I thought I've got to get myself one of those, and that's the moment. And yeah, I mean, that's why I'm so excited for this upcoming week, because I can remember those moments so vividly a year on, and I've kind of got it in my head that we might hopefully see similar signs at Hull on Saturday, Coventry on Tuesday, and hopefully Huddersfield will be a repeat of the Exeter game. It was an incredible night that was, you know, an amazing week. The Peter on the Saturday, Barnsley on the Tuesday, and then the promotion game on the Saturday against Exeter, and hopefully we'll be in a similar position this week.
The Holy Trinity, indeed. Yeah, exactly right. And we've been saying this pretty much since the season felt like it might have something riding on it. So it will be interesting to see how they pan out. We've got, need to say hi to Chris, our mate in Queenstown, New Zealand, bungee jump capital of the world, and the super chat, $20 New Zealand. We appreciate you, Chris. Looks like we need 3 wins from 3. We might not, but it's the easiest way to guarantee it, isn't it? It's just to do the business. But Chris, we salute you in the Southern Hemisphere, and we thank you for your support of the channel. Of course, as always, if folk want to do likewise, there's a button to do so in the super chat and YouTube, but a thumbs up is also appreciated very much so as well. And a review, we've had a flurry of recent podcast reviews, so 5-star ratings, reviews, all that kind of stuff, we very much appreciate as well. We need to say hello to Chris, who I assume up the Tigers, I assume is what UTT stands for. I was about to go somewhere else, but I'm not going to. Chris, good to have you with us. We'll try and be balanced, and we will try and give a neutral as much as perspective as we can. But if you've got any insights you want to share or corrections, as long as they're respectful, we very much value them. So thank you for joining us. Craig has been watching the highlights of Southampton, Rotherham, to a lesser extent, Rotherham, and Sunderland to get the feel good factor back. I think that's a good idea. I watched the Hull game from earlier in the season as well. More on that later on as well. And before we start just doing a bit of a roundup, Michael, thankfully, Brisbane, dark, and a cool 20 degrees at 5 a.m. So there you go. Thank you, everyone. There's lots of you here. We will try and dip into the chat as much as we can throughout. Seb, let me put the league table up and you could just give you a kind of sense of things. Leicester there, top of the tree, a good week for them. Leeds essentially doing what they needed to do at Borough, but Town there in third, just 1 point behind with a game in hand. Southampton out of the automatic promotion race seemingly at this point, and then there's maybe three teams hunting down 2 playoff spots, of which West Brom and Norwich are the favourites. We kind of alluded to it very briefly at the start, but do you want to kind of give your summings up of where things stand as we go into the whole game this weekend?
I think fair play to Leicester to get 6 points from West Brom, which on paper, as you often say, things on paper can be very different. But I thought that might be a bit tricky for them given the dodgy run they were in. But West Brom are just kind of stumbling across the line a little bit, aren't they? Norwich have caught them up. At one point, they had 5th place pretty much cemented for about what felt like 6 months, and they're kind of staggering away. So fair play, Leicester. 6 points at home to Southampton, 6 points at home to West Brom. Yeah, fair enough. They're going to go on and win the title now, I would have thought. The Leeds game was a bit crazy, wasn't it? It was a shootout. I think Borough's tactics kind of favoured what Leeds wanted to do. They were able to absorb pressure. And then with that front three and the pace of Nonto and Somerville, they were able to get themselves a relatively healthy lead. Some defensive howlers when they're from Middlesbrough in that game. But they've done what they need to do. They will be playing this time tomorrow night. Obviously, their game against QPR, who still needs something. Sheffield Wednesday's victory against Blackburn last Sunday has helped us. QPR are not safe yet, and apparently they're a bit of a bogey side for Leeds as well. So, you know, tight pitch, packed crowd, noisy crowd. I'm hopeful they can get something there, hopefully to help us out a little bit. And if they don't, then don't worry about it. Just focus on ourselves. Like I say, 3 wins and we are in the Premier League. That's all that needs to be focused on. Southampton have messed it up. You know, the Cardiff game screwed them. They were absolutely awful against Leicester.
Yeah.
I presume you watched it like
really
I did.
Bad.
They were, yeah, woeful, weren't they? And Russell Martin's gone and thrown the other half of his squad under the bus that he didn't throw under the bus against the Cardiff result. So yeah, they'll have to make do with a playoff campaign. Now, it would have been nice had they got something at Leicester to keep it interesting on the last day of the season against Leeds. That would have been helpful for us potentially. But well, I keep saying what will be, you know, it's win 3 games, you're in the Premier League. That's all you've got to worry about. Don't worry about all the outside noise, all the outside results. Just focus on what we can do.
Exactly right. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of Hull, worth mentioning ITFC Women have a weekend off before their season finale at home to Billericay next Sunday, so Sunday after this one coming. Do get down and support. It'll be the day after the Huddersfield game, so that could be a very exciting Sunday. Need to give a shout out to Sophie Peskett, who was FA Women's National League a player of the season for the Southern Premier Division, the league that she's playing, and Nina Miolo as well was the keeper who came in last week in the victory over Cardiff. Was for the tier below. She was on loan at Cardiff City, so congratulations to both of those. But do come and support the women's team next Sunday. Sunday after next at the AGL Arena, their final game of the season, and continue their winning run. There's 3 on the bounce now. Hopefully it'll be 4. So a week off for them. Hull, Seb, we've made it to Hull. I guess we need to give credit to them and their season, don't we? There's certainly some context that we need to provide in terms of finances and recruitment. Excellent manager in the running for manager of the season, along with Farker and McKenna. A really steady campaign from Hull, and you know, it looks unlikely at this stage that they'll break into that top six at this late stage, but it's still possible, isn't it? And for that, I guess you need to give credit to Liam Rossini.
I think so. Yeah, I very much agree with that. I think when you compare their kind of league positions in the last couple of years following promotion from League One, I think they finished 15th and 19th in the last 2 years. So to be in with a shout, albeit, okay, yeah, it is a slim one. You know, if Norwich or West Brom, if they both win at the weekend, then potentially Hull will need them to lose their final game. Hull will need to win both and have a goal swing of about, I think it's 7 or 8 goals. So it is unlikely, but the way they've moved on is really impressive. I think they've kind of got Rossini in charge, who's always been highly rated. I remember his time under Rooney as his number two. He was kind of labelled the brains behind it, you know, the tactical one and the very highly rated one. So he's done really well in his first proper managerial role in charge. He's implemented a playing philosophy which will look pretty familiar to us. You know, the playing out from the back, the centre backs looking to bring the ball forward, the wide players bombing on. But like you say, it does come with a slight caveat. I'd be interested to get the Hull fan in the chat, maybe Chris, his thoughts. Chris? Do you think there'd be a slight feeling of disappointment if they don't make the playoffs, given the fact, you know, it's a squad with Liam Delap on loan from Man City, Fabio Cavallio on loan from Liverpool, Tyler Morton on loan from Liverpool. It's a expensively kind of assembled squad built with the sale of Lewis Potter, the kind of the money they're spending from the sale of him to Brentford a couple of years ago. Will they look back and think that was the moment to do it? Because they might have to make, you know, a sale to comply with FFP in the future, or the side might get broken up when the vultures start get circling. I just think they might look back and think that was the season where, you know, we came really close, fell across the line, and now potentially we might have to pay for it a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, there are saleable assets there that enable them to go again. But we've talked a lot on this podcast, and as a team that is trying to challenge at the top end of the Championship, about how the parachute money just skews the competition. So you have to give credit to Hull, Coventry, and to ourselves for mixing it up with the first, second, and third year parachute teams. But yeah, you do have to make these kind of compromises, don't you? And sometimes difficult decisions might have to be made. So it'll be interesting to see what this summer brings for them. In terms of the here and now, Seb, do you want to give us the state of play?
Yeah, so sat seventh in the table. They're on 69 points. They're 3 points behind Norwich and West Brom in the fifth and sixth playoff positions. They've won 19 of the 44 games played so far this season. That's a win rate of 43%. They've drawn 12 and lost 13, a goal difference of +9. Only kept 11 clean sheets so far this season, which isn't great. It's the 15th best or 9th worst in the division. And they are slightly overperforming on their XG as well. XG of 55 versus 65 goals scored. So they are slightly overperforming on those kind of metrics. In terms of the recent form, it's pretty good. Two defeats over Easter. They lost 2-0 at home to Stoke in one of those weird Championship results that can randomly happen from time to time. And they lost 3-1 against Leeds, which is, you know, far more expected. That's been followed up with 3 wins and 2 draws. There were 4 consecutive draws before that, including taking points at home off Leicester and West Brom. They are 4th in the 6th game form table overall and have the exact same record as us with 11 points from the last 6 games. They've won 3, drawn 2 and lost 1. But they are top of the 5 game league table. So, yeah, kind of doing well in the 6th game league table, top of the 5th game league table. Last 6 results, 3 wins, Cardiff, QPR and Coventry last night. We'll discuss that in a minute.
With 3 goals for in those matches, by the way, as well.
Yeah, yeah. Goal scoring in the recent weeks hasn't been that much of an issue, but they have been conceding. 2 draws, a 2-2 draw against Borough and a 0-0 against Watford last weekend, which helped us. And the defeat I mentioned already, the 3-1 defeat to Leeds. However, at home, they are not amazing. It's 12th best, so very much mid-table as it stands at the moment. They've only taken 32 points from the 22 games played at the KC Stadium? Anymore, I'm showing.
Nice, wow.
Is it the Hull City Stadium or something? You look that up. I'll keep
talking. I will look it up. I don't know. That's a great
question. They draw a lot of games at home. They're equal second for the most home draws with 8, along with Coventry and Rotherham. Only 6 clean sheets at home so far this season. Only 1 win at home in the last 7. The last 5 home results have been that win, which is against QPR last time out. 4 draws, Birmingham, Leicester, Borough, and a defeat against Stoke. Did you find out what it's called?
The MKM Stadium rolls off the tongue. Thank you to Rob as well, who found
MKM Stadium.
So that's what you need to put into your sat navs, not the KCOM or or anything.
That's what I know it as, yeah, KC or KCOM or something. Yeah. But yeah, I think the thing that seems to have hurt them, Rob might agree with me so far in the chat so far this season, appears to be their inability to take points off the top six. That's how I kind of see it. They're pretty good at the size they should be beating. But if you look at their record, they did take 4 points off Leicester, which obviously is pretty impressive, but only 1 point off Leeds. So far, no points against us. 3 points against Southampton, but it was away, not at home. 1 point against West Brom and no points against Norwich. So you kind of look at that record and think, well, that's why they're, you know, slightly outside. Suddenly, if you even add 4 or 5 points onto that total, it would make a big difference to where they sit in the league, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I remember that the game at the MKM, now that I know what it's called, against Norwich, where essentially very attractive passing, attacking football with lots of intent, but not a huge amount of goals efforts. And then Norwich scored some long ranges, didn't they? And just, you know, not to say they S-housed it, but it was a kind of a fluky, at that point, Wagner away win that they didn't really deserve.
Yeah.
And that's the issue that I guess that at times Hull have had is, as you said, there's a very clear pattern. McKenna's mentioned it in his pre-match presser, and he's a person that knows all about that kind of stuff. There are times, and we've experienced it as well, where against more pragmatic teams, sometimes that's not going to be enough, and you need, you know, a bit of grit and maybe a little bit of naughtiness or nastiness just to, you know, to fluke a draw from a defeat or a win from a draw. And sometimes maybe they're maybe don't quite do that. You know, the Watford draw recently missed a penalty, had good chances, marginal chances, and you just think, you know, you just kick the keeper out of the way and shove one in. You know what I mean? And sometimes maybe that's not necessary there.
And it must strategy. Be said as well, they have had injuries in those striking positions as well. We'll discuss the likes of Liam Delap and Aaron Connolly, but they have had issues up front as well, which hasn't helped.
That being said, Seb, they got some real help with some really, what I'm going to call, crappy goals to beat Coventry, didn't they? I mean, there's mitigating circumstances in all three of the goals that Hull scored at Coventry. Do you want to give us the rundown on that game?
Yeah, it's a 3-2 victory last night, which keeps their playoff hopes alive and completely kills off Coventry's chances. And like you say, they were really given some help, weren't they? The opener was from Jaden Philogene. He kind of cuts in, gets a shot off, and the Coventry keeper kind of fumbles it across the line. It's a really bad goal to concede. The second one is a penalty. Liam Delap wins a penalty, which is coolly converted by Fabio Carvalho right into the top corner.
Yeah, but Coventry had a player down injured and Hull played on, and that was very... little bit naughty, you know, to my point before, they won a penalty out by being a bit naughty perhaps, but it was a bit borderline as well, a bit of a crap one, maybe a bit out outside the edge of the area as well. But
Woodward in defending Coventry shot. the last one is the worst of the three. It's a short back pass, isn't it, from the number four? Is it Bobby Thomas? I think it is. Short back pass, which Ohio, the striker, kind of pounces on and scores home. So all three goals were absolutely shocking. They showed a bit of character. They were pegged back to 1-1 and pegged back to 2-2. Better XG, 1.87 to 0.56, 45% possession. But I think even the most diehard Hull fan would not disagree with the fact they were given a helping hand on all three goals.
But probably deserved it. I mean, certainly first off, they absolutely battered Coventry. Coventry got back into it with a free kick, I think it was. A good
Casey Palmer. Yeah, Casey Palmer's free kick from range. We should mention as well, Coventry did rest the likes of, they came on at halftime, you know, Ellis Sims and Hadji Wright and stuff. They came off the bench at halftime, but it was very much a kind of reserve side for Cov that got put out given their excerpts in the...
That goal from Palmer was their first shot on target in the first half. So actually their first shot on goal. A weird one, yeah. I was hoping they'd cancel each other out, but hey-ho. We mentioned Liam Rossini. Do you want to give us the insight on him? I mean, the lazy assumption from outside is that he was doing all the hard work for Wayne Rooney, perhaps. And then when they were split up and went their separate ways, maybe the truth came to light, perhaps. I don't know. Is that harsh?
What's your take? I don't think so. He was always the one that was credited, wasn't he, with most of Derby's kind of resurgence in that year. They got all the points deductions and nearly stayed up. He's been there since November 2022. He's managed 76 games, won 27, drawn 27 and lost 22, which is 1.42 points per game across the season, gets you 65 points. So pretty much puts you exactly where they kind of are at this point. Started his coaching career at the Brighton under 23 level. He then went into Derby as a first team coach under Philip Cocu before getting promoted to assistant manager under Rooney. He had this weird weird thing. Do you remember when the takeover went through the year they got relegated and they made it, they announced him as their interim manager in the summer, which is, yeah, talk about a dead man walking, the poor guy. They eventually obviously get rid of him and bring in Paul Warne. And he goes to Hull, and I think he's done really well. I think he's a really highly rated young manager, talks very eloquently, clearly very intelligent, both on a, you know, a football tactician level and emotional level. He's one of these breed, isn't he, of the kind of the McKennas, the Carricks, the Danny Rolls, and I think he's destined for good things in the game. Personally, I think he's done a really good job. He took over where they were 1 point above the relegation zone last season, stabilised them pretty effectively. There were a couple of points deductions for Wigan and Reading, but they finished 14 points clear of the drop zone, so did a good job last year. Has spent a bit of time implementing this kind of playing style. He's had a bit of criticism in the first half of this year around playing out from the back. I think they conceded a couple of goals around the time they played us in the autumn, and the fans were saying, you know, oh, we should look to, you know, mix it up and go long sometimes. And he gave the usual, well, if we go long and the ball comes straight back and somebody scores, it's the same end result, but no one will talk about it. The same as getting caught from the back. So yeah, very intelligent. I really like him. I think he's destined for really good things. And of course, he used to play for us for one season under Roy Keane in 2009-2010. I'll be honest, I completely forgot about that till I was doing this research. He was kind of a solid championship level kind of player, wasn't he? Bristol City, Fulham, Reading, that lone spell at us, got one goal in about 30 odd appearances, Hull and Brighton. So yeah, really up and coming manager who are destined for good things, I think.
Yeah, agreed. I need to put this comment on from Nigel. I'm hoping you beat Hull and we beat Swansea. So read into that where Nigel's loyalties may lie. I don't normally cheer for you a lot, but good luck against Hull. So if we want anything out of tonight in terms of success, we're unifying rival factions here. I am aware it's getting aggy in the chat. Please be nice to each other. We don't have to disagree in the chat. Have our views and be positive. And otherwise, I'm going to start blocking and muting people. So you have been warned. Moving on.
Let's positive, everyone. At the start of the season, if you'd have said you're going into the last week of the campaign and it's in your own hands and three wins gets you to the Premier League, we would have thought you were sniffing glue. We'd have thought you were absolutely gone. You know, this is far beyond our wildest expectations. There is absolutely no need to be downcast.
We're arguing over hypotheticals, folks. We don't know what's going to happen. Just chill. It's all good. And I was hoping the next bit said might have some positivity to talk about, but history-wise, not so much. Give us the overall record.
The head-to-head, yeah. 10 Ipswich wins, 11 draws and 19 Hull wins. But if you want some positivity, here it comes. The last time I think that we played them was one of our best performances of the season. It was a 3-0 victory in October. Burns relatively early on, Connor Chaplin and Marcus Harness with the goals. And the last time we went to the MKM Arena was also a victory for Town, a 1-0 victory in February 2021. James Norwood with the goal. And there were two weird things about this time. First off, it was the first time we'd beaten a side in the top six that season in the February of the campaign. And also, it was that weird time, do you remember, where Paul Lambert was still the manager, but Matt Gill was the one doing pre-match and post-match and the stuff on the touchline. And I think about four days later, Lambert gets fired. So yeah, a really weird time. But yeah, our most recent visit there, we did win. Also had a big win there in 2007, 5-2. Franny Jeffers, Jamie Peters, Alan Lee, Jason DeVos, Danny Haynes all scored. Windass got a couple for Hull. So yeah, some good memories from the MKM/KC Arena Stadium.
Keep
the faith, people.
Do you want to name the rest of that 5-2 winning team? You usually turn the tables on me, but
you flip reversed it. Squad me.
You got five players for free there. You only need to name six.
Stephen Bywater.
No.
Good start.
The keepers, both the one.
Supple or Price then?
Exactly right. Yeah, Price and Supple on the bench. Yep.
David Wright.
Correct.
DeVos and Bruce.
Yep.
Dan Harding wouldn't have been there.
Yes. Matt Ridge. Yes.
Dan Harding, left back. Okay. Yep. Centre mid.
Tall one.
Before we get bought out, isn't it, Rice? This is Magilton's first season, isn't it? So Jimmy won? No, the season after.
So one was a
Owen Garvin.
Yep, correct. Yeah. Other
Zagwinski?
Yes. Wow. Well played. Yeah. Yep. Out wide.
Peters I've already got. Haynes I've already. Also, Haynes would have been a sub though, wouldn't he, I guess?
Haynes would have come on. He came on as a sub. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm guessing it's Lee. Gary Roberts on the left.
Gary Roberts. Correct.
Yeah. And then it must have been Lee and Jeffers up front.
Yeah, David Pascoe, John Walters came off the bench correct as well. I will buy you a pint next time we see you if you name the unused outfield sub. Famous for being sent off away at Watford, I think, or...
Yeah. George O'Callaghan.
Yeah, there you go. You can still find him, I think. But there you go. Yeah, so 5-2.
I look forward to my pint, thanks.
You're welcome. You've earned
it. Never going to happen.
You've earned it. Let's talk about the current Hull team then. Probably there's a big name arrival, isn't there, on loan? A lot of people looking very enviously on at the arrival of Fabio Carvalho, but quite a few arrivals in, so quite a few loans as well in this team, isn't there?
There are, yeah. I mean, they did a bit of business in January, but Fabio Carvalho is the standout one. I remember when the deal was done, he spent the first half of the season on loan at Red Bull Leipzig, didn't he, from Liverpool, didn't really feature, didn't get a game in. And then suddenly it broke that he'd signed for Hull, and we all kind of thought, what is going on there? I mean, I'm not being disrespectful to Hull. He's far too good, I think, to be playing at this level,
what
regardless who he was playing for.
What are you doing there?
Very much so. Maybe if he was in a Leeds or a Leicester, you might think, oh, okay, they're just going to push the boat out for 6 months. But yeah, for Hull to get him is a real coup, and he's done really well. I think he's got 9 goals in 18 appearances since joining. He's got an assist as well. So he's the standout performer from the January bunch by far. Billy Sharp has joined from LA Galaxy as well, 38 years old now. His record at this level is absolutely insane, isn't he? He's not scored for them yet, but he joined as well. They had a couple of other players join in, one from Trabzonspor, Ab Bulkadir Omar and Ivor Pandor, a goalkeeper, neither of which have really, really featured. Anis Oari's come in from Burnley. He did well for Burnley last year. I think he got half a dozen goals and half a dozen assists. He's an injury doubt for the weekend. He's back in training, but he's missed the last 3 games, so he might not feature. And Ryan Giles, left back, who's on loan at Borough last year, I think, and did well. He came in on loan from Luton for the second half of the season, but Fabio Carvalho is the standout arrival from the January window.
Yeah. We mentioned the kind of Lewis Potter sale. It does appear that there is some money sloshing around still. There's some decent sized fees in there. You mentioned Pandor and Umar. That was 2 million, well, 1.8 and 2 million respectively, wasn't there? So, and there'll be a good chunky fee for Carvalho as well, weren't there?
And his wages apparently are 50 grand a week. So if they're covering even half of them for a 6-month period, that's quite considerable as well. I looked at the sale of Keane Lewis Potter. Went to Brighton in July 2022 for 16 million. They spent 9 million quid last year, roughly the same this year, slightly more, 9.5 million this year. So with obviously a rolling 3-year program for FFP, I would assume they'll probably have to look to make some sort of cutbacks or make a sale going into the next kind of window to balance the books a little bit.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Should we talk about this, how the squad is used, the configuration, and surprise everyone listening, said by confirming the formation.
I will surprise you because it's been 4-2-3-1 for most of the season.
Oh, but okay.
Recently, given some of their injury issues, it looks like a bit more of a 4-4-2.
Oh, goodness me.
Bit of a throwback. Like I said, they've had issues up front, so they've kind of had to push a couple of the attacking midfielders like Carvalho and like Ozan Tufan, Turkish attacking midfielder. They've kind of been pushed up into these striking positions because they haven't had a recognised striker. So 4-2-3-1 most of the season, kind of a 4-4-2 more recently. Much slower in the build-up play than we are. Think kind of Leicester, Southampton kind of scale. You know, more passes per sequence, won't get the ball forward as quickly, more kind of passing, intricate build-up play to what we're using. Used to 16th for pressing, so not amazing for pressing, and slow and intricate build-up play. Look a bit susceptible to me to counter-attacks at pace, which could be useful with the likes of, well, we'll discuss potential returns of quick players on our bench. The likes of Hutchison might get back involved as well, but yeah, that's how they're going to be kind of lining up. In terms of key players, we all know the name Jadon Philogene.
Surprise.
Yeah, scored the other night. Got that amazing goal, didn't he, against Rotherham earlier in the season. He's the top scorer with 12. He's got 6 assists as well. Third highest in the division for shots per 90 minutes with 3.7. He can play on either flank, but he basically plays on the left-hand side, cuts it onto his right foot, beats his man with a dribble and gets a shot off. £5 million last summer from Aston Villa. I think we were linked with him for a while as well, weren't we? I don't know how much that was, kind of just maybe hearsay. And Villa have a buyback. They cleverly inserted a buyback option for £15 million they can trigger if Hull get promoted. And I think if they don't get promoted, they've got first refusal on any bids that Hull look to accept. So 4 goals in his last 5 games. He's a man in form, and he is definitely the danger man. We've already discussed Fabio Carvalho. Ozan Tufan is the other player I mentioned who's pushed up into the attacking positions. He's got 9 goals and 2 assists so far this season. Liam Delap is back. I thought he was good in the Portman Road game, even though they lost 3-0.
We brought in Edmondson to deal with him specifically, didn't we?
We did, yeah, exactly right. Well remembered. He's missed 3 months of the season. His start against Coventry last night was the first start since New Year's Day. So I'm hoping it might be too much of an ask for him to start 2 games in such quick succession. Maybe he'll be back on the bench. Got 7 goals and 2 assists. Lovely player, quick, direct, great technique. Hopefully he'll be knackered after last night. He played pretty much 3/4 of the game, and hopefully he won't be able to start again in such quick succession.
But Jean-Michel Tufan, though, they rested Tufan, didn't they? Who came on for Delap at Coventry, and I would describe him as mercurial. He's kind of he's got a little bit of a Andy Reid vibe about him physically, maybe a bit taller, but you know, he's capable of scoring a worldie that he did against QPR, kind of in off the bar and in. Lovely kind of cut in from the left and curled one over the, you know, Begovic into the goal against QPR, but then missed the penalty against Watford and tried to score a tap in with a back heel from a corner as well. So he's capable of doing, you know, different things on the kind of good to head scratching scale. But you know, there's definite quality. And even you're going to mention, I'm sure, Seri, but even Ohio who've come in, there is a lot of strength and depth in the attacking positions, maybe less so further back, but they have got options, haven't they, Seb?
Yeah, Jean-Michel Seri. I remember Dave and Ben waxing lyrical about Seri. I think he absolutely ran a game for Fulham at Portman Road back in 2017-ish, maybe. I remember Dave was a big fan. He'll kind of provide the centre mid defensive screen, 69 touches per game. Probably going to have Tyler Morton alongside him, who's a 21-year-old on loan from Liverpool. He's got 3 goals and 5 assists so far this season. He's second in the assist rankings behind Philogene. Alfie Jones and EFL Championship Team of the Year centre-back Jacob Greaves will be the back pairing. They've got 7 assists between them so far this season, which kind of, that's quite impressive.
Overlapping centre-backs, perhaps?
Maybe just flick on from corners. I didn't look into that much. Maybe just, they're both big old boys. So maybe that. Ryan Olsen, the goalkeeper, has 10 clean sheets in 35 games, but he is -9 in the goals prevented stats, which is pretty poor. Billy Sharp, we've already mentioned. I've already mentioned Anas Zahrawi is an injury doubt. Do you remember Aaron Connolly at Brighton, who was the next big thing, who, you know, a bit like Evan Ferguson for Brighton this year, was going to, you know, spend a couple of years there and then get a big money move? He's there. He signed on a perm. He's back in training. Could be a bench option. 8 goals so far in 28 appearances. About half of those, I think, were starts so far this year. So he could be back and provide some depth up front. And they've got a bit of an issue at right back. They've had Regan Slater, who's a midfielder. He's been filling in recently. Louis Coyle is the first choice. He's back from injury. Got 30 minutes against Coventry the other night, so he might come back in at right back. And they are strong down there. Right hand side.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I mean, there's some good quality there. You know, Jacob Greaves is an interesting one in terms of getting into that championship team of the season, but definitely got ability. And there's assists, yeah, four assists, I think it is for him. So there's
and he's young and he's left footed and he's physical. So, you know, he ticks an awful lot of boxes. I guess if they have to make an FFP compliance sale, I guess it's either going to be him or Philogene, isn't it? In reality, we're going to be the two that might get pinched from higher up the food chain, I would assume.
Yeah, so there's quality there. Do you want to give us some kind of statistical insight of what we might expect, style of play, et cetera? Well,
as you'd expect with a kind of slow and intricate passing style, their 60% possession is the fourth highest in the league. 87% passing accuracy is the third highest. They average 548 short passes per match, and their accurate passes of 475 is the third best in the league, again, behind Southampton and Leicester. So very much on those kind of scales for the passing and the build-up and the passing accuracy. Not amazing goal scorers at home. We've already discussed that. 32 goals scored at home is 10th in the league, so not amazing. 15 shots per game is 7th in the league. Having 5 on target per game is 8th. Set pieces are a bit of a threat. 7 goals scored from set plays is the joint 5th highest. And they've also been awarded the 3rd most penalties this season so far with 7. However, lucky Leicester in first apparently have almost double that. Defensively, 11 shots conceded per game is pretty average. A lot of the defensive stats were kind of a bit meh. 13 tackles per game, however, is the second fewest in the league, and 8 interceptions per game is the overall fewest in the league, and 9 fouls conceded per game is the fewest in the league. So although they don't concede many shots, apparently they don't do much tackling, they don't do much intercepting, and they don't commit that many fouls.
And the keeper doesn't make many match-saving saves either. So what you're saying is this could be a 5-4-3-4 kind of situation.
I hope not. I really hope not.
Which defence is the least worst could be the deciding factor in this one. Any other bits and pieces you want to draw our attention to, Seb, before we start talking about us?
Just a little stat that kind of jumped out at me. Hull are one of only 5 sides in the division who have a worse points per game record at home as opposed to their away form. The other 4 sides are Watford, Ipswich win at Watford, tick. Middlesbrough, Ipswich win at Middlesbrough, tick. QPR, Ipswich win at QPR, tick. And Blackburn, Ipswich win at Blackburn, tick. So we've beaten all the other sides that are worse at home than they are away. So let's keep that trend going.
So you're saying there's a chance. I didn't even get a chance.
I knew you were going to say that. I absolutely knew you were going to say that.
Predictable. I've been doing this for too long. I forgot to play your jingle as well. I thought I'd lob in an insight. Maybe I'll play your jingle and I'll own it, if that's all right. Do I do that?
Feel free. You did the hard work for the insight this week, so you own that awful, right, god-awful jingle that I've only got to listen to twice.
Here we go, folks. So this is a game to score first in, folks. Admittedly, Hull don't go behind that often at home, only 10 times this season, which is the joint third best in the division. However, when they do go behind, they've only managed to come back and win once. The otherwise are 3 draws and 6 losses. So that's only 6 points from losing positions at home, compared to a pretty staggering 25 points for us on our patch. So score first, Hull might struggle to come from behind. I won't give you the information about Ipswich's away performance and all that stuff, but there's some stats nevertheless. I quite enjoyed the points per game delta between home and away as well. Any other bits of serendipity that you want to talk about, Seb, the referee perhaps?
Just if you want an extra boost that the stars are starting to align for us, the referee Andrew Kitchen has taken charge of 1 Ipswich game so
Andrew
far this
Kitchen.
Season.
How can you not what say did I, you stuck I an say? R in there, Kitchen.
Did I? I think I said Kitchen. Andrew Kitchen has taken charge of 1 Ipswich game so far this season. It was the 2-1 victory over Coventry home. That was the Wes Burns, what the kids call it, Travella goal. And he's taken charge of 2 Hull games, both of which were defeats. A 2-1 defeat against Norwich and a 3-1 defeat against West Brom. So, yeah, even the ref is going in our favour.
There you go, folks. Reasons to be positive. More reasons to be positive when we talk about Ipswich Town shortly, but let me just do some bits of admin. We are brought to you in partnership with the best pub in Ipswich, we mentioned it off the top. The Greyhound, do head there ahead of Huddersfield next weekend. There will be breakfast baps available at the Greyhound, and hopefully if there's something to celebrate, head there afterwards, because I'm sure you'll find plenty of the Blue Monday team and everyone else in town, no doubt, as well. We still have our ongoing promo with NordVPN. If you are following from further afield or you just want to be secure when browsing the internet, there is a link in the description, both on the video and the podcast, to get a discount and the promo gives us a little bit of a kickback as well. So everybody wins. Hopefully you've spotted our interview at the start of the week with the great Neil Warnock, who's coming to town on the 7th of June for a live kind of Q&A kind of situation, which we are looking to support. But in advance of that, he's given his insights on Ipswich Town. He shared some of those on Sky midweek as well, very much in our camp. But do check out our interview that Ben did on our channel, and Ben's done an extended one on his as well. If you want to get involved perhaps on that 7th of June event, head to our Telegram group, because we are trying to do a group situation there, and maybe a bit of a meetup too. That's only available to Telegram members. And at this point of the season, with basically just over a week to go, perfect opportunity to get your 2-week free trial of Telegram, frankly, and figure out what all the fuss is about. But the 3-game week, potentially very lots of excitement, hopefully positivity. Join Telegram and get involved there. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk, all the links for Telegram and Nord, I think, is there as well. In terms of other bits of pieces of content and shows, Saturday, 8 p.m. live, Ben and I will be watching along for our sins. Hopefully with it won't be through our gritted teeth or through our fingernails or whatever. So do join us if you're not going to Hull for that. The flagship show with Mikey, Craig and Joe will talk all about it. We'll also do a bonus preview for the Coventry game after that as well. They'll go out on Monday. And then Seb and I will be back Thursday, Seb, next week.
Yes. Yeah.
To Thursday, talk about the finale, Huddersfield. Yep.
And hopefully it'll be what we think it's going to be.
Hopefully so. And as always, a like, a subscribe, a 5-star rating on your podcast app of choice. All of these are very much appreciated. Let's get back to business, Seb. Ipswich Town, the team with the second best away record in the league, having played one less than the team who have the best record. A question mark, but potentially a fully fit squad. Maybe not match fit, but hopefully no significant injuries. Helmed, no less, by the Championship Manager of the Year, Kieran McKenna. What's your thoughts on how we might approach Saturday's game?
Everybody's fit by all accounts, aren't they? There's a couple of doubts, but perfectly normal. A couple of injuries, sorry, not doubts, but perfectly normal. I guess this time of the year, you're never going to have 100% fitness going in, given the schedule that's been played. So, yes, we've seen the social media pictures today of a certain Mr. Wesley Burns and a certain Mr. George Hurst back in training. And McKenna's come out and said that if they're both all good through training tomorrow, they will travel with the squad. I don't expect
on the grass.
On the grass, indeed. I don't expect either of them to start. I think they'll both be bench options with a look to get 20-15 minutes if need be, and maybe extend that slightly against Coventry on Tuesday night. But what a crucial two players to have. I think we've really missed Burns in particular, his directness, his pace. Hutchinson is fantastic, one of the easily the young player of the year, a phenomenal talent, but I do prefer him in the 10 as opposed to out wide. I think that out wide position in our team is designed to stay high, hug the touchline, get in behind, and that's not Hutchinson's game, which is absolutely no slight on him, but it's very much Wes Burns' game. We've called him Big Game Burns so many times past. George Hurst as well, we're sat here, probably it was half time this time a year ago, so he's just scored his crucial second goal, and what memories he can give us, and what an option off the bench if Kiefer Moore is knackered at 70 minutes to look to the bench, and you've either got Al Hamady or you've got Hurst, could be absolutely
or both.
Yeah, why not go mental and throw them both on? Absolutely, why not? So yeah, this, we're at full strength. I presume he will do the normal. We know it'll be Clanky in goal, third for clean sheets so far in the Championship. Maybe a question at right back. Personally, I'd go Twan Zabi, given that Philogene plays on their left and is there one of their bigger threats. The pace of Twan Zabi, the maybe slightly more defensive head, could be useful.
He's an away player. He was really great at Plymouth and then not so great against Southampton, wasn't he, Twan Zabi? So maybe he's an away player.
Yeah, I'd have no issue with that. I assume it'll be Wolfenden. I know he bought in Edmondson for the home game, but he's still injured, I guess. No, he would. He didn't specify him as injured, so maybe he's available. But I assume it's a weird three-game season now, it's going to be Wolfenden and Burgess at the back. Leif Davis, officially the best left-back in the division with his record-breaking 17 assists. Also second in the league for chance creation with 115. He'll be the left-back. We know it's going to be Morsey and Luongo in the middle. What would you do for the front three behind the striker? Are we going to assume Kiefer Moore starts and then you've got Al Hamady and George Hurst options on the bench? So what would you do with the three behind?
Oh, it's really difficult. I kind of feel this is Chaplin's moment. I think we need pace out wide. If Burns is not available to start, because I know you like him in the 10, but I would stick Hutchinson wide right.
Yeah, I would.
Chaplin in the 10, and then I still think Sarmiento's a finisher, not a starter. So I have Broadhead in. I mean, I'd be trying to get as close to the Barnsley team kind of thing as we could, really, given that's fresh in the mind. But I think Broadhead, you know, still joint top scorer, isn't he?
13.
Hutchinson's got 5 assists as well as the 7 goals. But I just think Connor Chaplin kind of came up trumps, didn't he? I'm thinking Exeter particularly, obviously got the 3rd goal at Barnsley, scored at Peterborough as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I think he'll want to prove himself because he's been a kind of a maybe, for his high standards, maybe a quiet few weeks prior to the break, hasn't it? And he's the top goal contribution maker in our team as well. So I think you've got to start him and more up front. And then what a strong bench it is. The guys in the chat are saying, strong bench, says Colin. Folks in the chat are giving their thoughts as well. Jason going for Broadhead, Chaplin, Amari. I think that's in chimes with what I said there. And Neil Chopper, as we call him, due a goal or 4. Yeah, quite right. Maybe it's, I think someone in the Telegram group was saying, maybe it's time he scored from 40, 50 yards or the halfway line.
He's had a few tries, hasn't he, so far this season. Been unlucky, hit the woodwork, Sunderland away. I think he might have hit it somewhere else as well. So imagine if that was the goal that seals a win at either Hull or Coventry. Oh, the scenes, the limbs would be absolutely phenomenal.
And worth noting, I mean, in terms of the players, the Burns and Hurst, Burns obviously opened the scoring against Hull. Hurst did work really hard to set up the goal for Harness for the 3rd as well. So getting them back in would be great. Also need to remember that Hull played Wednesday night. I know you kind of alluded to it, Seb, but this 2-week break, McKenna has been really kind of cryptic about it in his post-match. We'll see at the end whether we did the right things in our 2 weeks off. But of all the managers in the league, and the backroom teams, of all of the teams you'd want to give a 2-week break to make some hay while the sun shines, as it were, it would be us, wouldn't it? So it's going to be fascinating, isn't it? Anything more that folk want to add in the chat on our lineup, do let us know. Jason mentioning Sammy Morsey may be due a goal again. Maybe it's like an MK Dons situation, perhaps.
Do you know Morsey 5 assists so far this season? 5.
That doesn't surprise me. How many goals? 3 goals, is it?
I think so. Possibly. Well, if you count the lesson.
I know Luongo's got 3, I think. Luongo scored a great goal against Hull as well, didn't he? Edge of the box.
Yes.
So
No, he didn't. No, that was Millwall.
Are you sure?
I am sure. Never doubt me, Richard.
Never doubt.
The home game was Burns, Chaplin, and Harness.
You're right. Chaplin scored a worldie, didn't he, against Hull? That was it. Yeah. I've been watching different highlights. They're kind of merging together. Harness had a good game that night. We haven't talked about him either, but yeah, good.
He might be the unlucky player who doesn't make the bench, inconceivably, couldn't he? If you've got to fit in Hurst and Burns, it's going to be one of Harness or Jackson or possibly both that might not make the bench. So that shows the absolute strength in depth, doesn't it?
It does. We mentioned Kieran McKenna. By the way, we do have an ongoing giveaway with our friends at glorydaysartwork.co.uk or Artwork Days on X. If you follow them and follow us and do a retweet, you can win this fantastic print that they've created of the great Ipswich Town managers, including the current incumbent as well. That's also available to our Telegram group too. We have 2 giveaways going on there, so do get involved in there and do support Glory Days artwork as well. Brad, local guy, doing really hard work. The print behind me, I think, is some of his work, and behind you as well, Seb. Have you got some Glory Days artwork behind you? The squad print, the great.
I've got 2. I've got last year's squad. That one. Oh, every time. That one there, I think, is last year's winning squad. And if you look further up where the camera's out of shot, I've got the Burley side as well. So hopefully we might get one for this promotion squad
Head
as well.
Head to our Twitter to get involved in that one. Yeah, exactly right. We can't put it off any longer. Before I press the button for editors, do get your questions in for Seb if you want to ask him anything. Your team lineup predictions and your score predictions, because that's where we're going to now. Feels so long ago since we'd done some predictions, and it wasn't a vintage week, Seb. Jack won the week.
Is it ever?
Jack won the week with 5 points to our 2 and my 2 and your 3, which makes it quite tight, actually, between me and Telegram, but come on, mate. You've got to get over. Let's get you over the 200 mark. This weekend is the weekend to do it.
Thanks.
You can wave the white flag for Huddersfield if you want. But I think Jack might, it might get a bit squeaky bum with me and Jack. So who knows? But I'm going to declare early doors that there is some real manifesting going on. There is some real kind of tempting the lords, the football gods with some predictions this week. Let me slap them up on the screen and let's start right at the top there, Seb. You are going for a draw for QPR Leeds. Jack is going for a QPR win. I'm the only rational one going for a Leeds victory. Do you want to give us your thoughts on QPR versus Leeds?
Yeah, QPR are not safe. Cifuentes has done a really, really good job there. They're in decent-ish form. It's a tight ground. The crowd are right on the pitch. And the Championship can throw up these weird results. I mean, 1999 Crewe at Portman Road defeat. You know, these weird results can happen at this time of the season. So, yes, it's part want, you know, and if they go and slap them 4-0 and Leeds are 4 points clear, I wouldn't be that surprised. But you've got to be positive. It could happen. I don't think it's a gimme. And also, I think QPR's tactics and game plan will stifle Leeds much better than Middlesbrough do. QPR aren't going to go out and attack Leeds, are they? They're going to keep it tight, keep it disciplined, look for kind of set pieces, make it physical, kind of look to reduce the game down to their level. Sounds disrespectful, but you know what I'm saying. They're not going to be silly enough to take Leeds on.
They won't do a Borough, will they?
No, and hopefully all that will go in our favour. And yes, it's probably a prediction made with my heart, but I'll tell you what, if it gets to 10 p.m. tomorrow night and it is 1-1,
I tell you what, they've got
that would be absolutely incredible, wouldn't it?
And Leeds had a really bad London hoodoo for a while, didn't they? Certainly under Bielsa, if I remember rightly. So,
and also they played Monday night, don't forget, and they're playing Friday night, so it's a short recovery time. Dan James has broken a rib, so he's out injured, and you never know.
You never know. That's the motto of this podcast, I think. Any other results there? There's kind of Blackburn, Coventry, the kind of teams that are on the periphery of interesting stuff that probably have in reality nothing to play for. I guess Huddersfield, Birmingham, Seb, is the one down the bottom, and as it pertains to our season, has some relevance. We're all predicting Birmingham to win there. You and I with a one-goal margin. Jack, pretty confident on the side of Birmingham. Do you want to give us your thoughts on Huddersfield v Birmingham?
Well, yeah, it would be ideal, wouldn't it, if Huddersfield are relegated next week? I mean, if they needed to win next week, that might go in our favours as well.
Clear, not for Huddersfield fans.
No, of course not. Hello, the Huddersfield fans selfish. Who are probably tuned in the chat. Yeah, even if they have to come out and attack us next week to win, that wouldn't be a bad thing. I guess the worst case scenario next week is they need some sort of point to stay up and they just, you know, park the bus and stifle us and make it frustrating. But they were that bad, by all accounts, at home to Swansea, weren't they? Was that 4-0? I think that, you know, Birmingham have been pretty poor, but they've got a bit of a new manager bounce. That's it. They couldn't beat Rotherham. But I think they'll get the business done and that will relegate Huddersfield. And that's one less complication going into the final round of games.
Yep. Norwich Swansea, we've all gone 2-1 victory for Norwich. I think that would be helpful ahead of our 8 p.m. game. Down the bottom, Sheffield Wednesday, West Brom. Your thoughts on that one? You think Sheffield Wednesday got a chance?
They've been in really good form recently, haven't they? And West Brom are, like I said earlier, stumbling across the line. So I can see the logic in going for a draw, but I would not be surprised. Like I say, weird things happen at run-ins and pressure gets to people. And if West Brom were to drop more points, I mean, as I said, they had fifth pretty much sewn up and have staggered recently. And Wednesday are on a real high now, aren't they? The turnaround, the job Danny Rowe's done is absolutely phenomenal. So I wouldn't be that surprised they got a result there and got themselves across the line.
Okay, fair dues. Southampton, we're all expecting to bounce back in various degrees. I'm not expecting to be particularly compelling against Stoke. You to a slightly greater degree, and then Jack's gone for a 4-1. Maybe they will bounce back. That last day, though, Seb, isn't going to have the same intensity, is it, sadly?
Annoyingly, no, I don't think so.
It's a shame. And then we're all predicting, well, you and I are predicting Leicester wins at Preston. Jack thinks Leicester might drop themselves over the finish line with a 1-1 draw. Do you want to give us your take on Preston? Leicester against Preston, nothing really in it, have they?
No, the ultimate on the beach side this year. They lost to Norwich.
They're tenths, aren't they?
Sorry, who did they play? Where it was it Leeds when it was Southampton? When it was Southampton when it was like 3-0 after half an hour, whatever, a couple of weeks ago. So no, I think they're done for the season. They're on the beach, and Leicester now have done the hard part. I'd be staggered if they didn't get this finished off and get themselves up on Monday.
And to be fair to Preston, 10th and occasionally lingering near the playoffs is probably a good season for them, isn't it? We need to give credit. Sometimes it's all relative what success looks like, isn't it?
Just need a better striker. If they upgraded Will Keane, they probably challenge.
Well played. And finally, Hull v Ipswich. Look at that. A trio of 2-1 Ipswich Town wins. I shocked you there. You probably thought I'd gone for a draw.
I was worried. Yeah, you might have gone for like a 1-1.
I need to give credit to someone in the chat. There it is. I lost it. It's moved. Apologies. One sec as I find it, because this is my working. Interested to get your take on this as well, Seb. I think it's going to be tight, as 2-1 kind of suggests. But Michael Kemp has said a very tight game on Saturday. Sarmiento to score the only goal. I don't think it'll be the only goal, but I think Sarmiento in the 85th minute might be the way that we win this one. Squeaky bum time. Definitely there. What's the working on your 2-1?
Two very kind of similar styles in terms of passing out from the back. And sometimes those kind of things do lead to more cagey games, don't they? As they not cancel each other out, but they kind of, spend a bit of time trying to find each other out. And like two heavyweight fighters going into a boxing match, they can sometimes take a little while to feel out what's going on. I think it'll be tight. They don't score amazing goals at home, but with a Carvalho, a Philogene, they're always capable of a worldie, aren't they? Let's be honest.
Scored a worldie against QPR.
Decent. The lap back as well, so they have got goals in them as a threat, but I am confident. I think we are basically where we were 12 months ago. This squad, this manager know what to do in these kind of positions, and I think the 2 weeks will have been spent on prep, research, tactics, everything shooting to get us ready for this one, and I expect us to get across the line. And if we do get across the line in this one and win it, then my god, the confidence going into Coventry and Huddersfield will be absolutely off the scale, especially if QPR do us a favour tomorrow night. Imagine if QPR get a point, hold Leeds to a point tomorrow night, and then we win 24 hours later. Oh, the scenes will be phenomenal, and all the negative Nancys on social media will be able to cheer up and look forward to two huge games.
There you go. Let's see what the chat has. I should have ended it there. I can't surpass that, but I mean, we are with predictions from the chat. Gem, Chaplin, Burns and Hurst, 3-0 to the Tractor Boys.
That would be phenomenal. That would be, yeah, Peterborough and Barnsley vibes, where it's just calm and composed and collected, and we're
two fit players. We don't know we're fully fit yet as well. So I love the optimism there, Jem. Keep that coming. Stuart's going for a 4-2. Doesn't seem given what we said, impossible, does it? 2-1 for Stevens, going and crossing his fingers as well. Universe doesn't care, the best username, going for a 3-1 Ipswich. Colin's going for 3 wins for Town, in his opinion. Our mate Chris in New Zealand, 2-0. Trevor, 1-2 for Ipswich, I assume, but any effing win, anyhow, an own goal, Trevor, a crappy own goal, a Coventry gift from the keeper, maybe, who knows? We'd take that, wouldn't we? Charlie's going for a 2-0. Neil going for Leicester and Leeds draws. We're manifesting now, aren't we? What else have we got predictions wise? There's lots of stuff around the QPR. Decent. Leeds will win both games, says James. I think James has got a foot in another camp.
Maybe we can't blame him.
Shez are going for a 1-1, possibly need some working on that one. Colin going for a 2-1 as well. And Neil reminding us, get the first goal, definitely. Rob going for a 2-1. Another James going for a 2-0. Same James, I think.
I think the 1-1 was the QPR lead result, James.
Okay. Apologies, James. I got you wrong there. Lee 2-2. Lee, no.
Lee, no.
Nigel, our resident friend from up the road, 1-2 Ipswich. Lol. 3-2, says Neil. 3-0, Dr. Zach King, Chappers, Luongo, and Burns. There you go. And Richard, calm, controlled 2-0 Town. Broadhead Hutchinson. I'm going for a bit of ASMR there. Maurizio. 3-0. It's happening again. There we go. I think we have to kind
love
of
that.
We'll go with that one to finish with. Sorry, James. I'm definitely not a Leeds fan. He says, I forgive you. I'm so sorry, James. We'll be back next week to figure out whether hearts and heads, which has come out best for predictions this time around. Apologies, we've kind of run out of time for questions, but I would encourage folk to join the flagship show Sunday, 8 p.m. and pose your questions to those guys. They'll obviously be talking about Hull after the fact, but prior to that, do join Ben and I for the live watch along 8 p.m. on Saturday night as well. Thank you, Seb, as always, for all your hard work. Thank you to the Greyhound. Thank you to NordVPN. Thank you to Neil Warnock. Thank you to Glory Days Artwork. And thank you, everyone, for getting involved. A few other bits and pieces to mention. I know we don't like to get ahead of ourselves here on the pre-match show, one game at a time, as the players like to say. But next Tuesday, Coventry, not only will we have a little bonus preview of that one, but if you are at Coventry, going to Coventry, and you see Seb Brown, give him a big hug and wish him a very happy birthday, because it is Seb's birthday on the Coventry game. And if you know Seb on Telegram or social media, do say hello on Tuesday as well, because the good old boy is getting to a good old milestone age. So we want to give him a good old celebration for that one, and hopefully some excitement on Tuesday night to go with it as well. So happy birthday, mate, in advance for Tuesday.
Thank you.
And yeah, I'll let you sign off, and I'll put some stuff on the screen.
Oh, it's me, isn't it? Yeah, I keep forgetting because we've drawn recently, but we haven't been defeated, so it's still me doing the sign-off. Right, guys, this is it. A three-game mini-season starting at 8 p.m. on Saturday night. Don't be downhearted. Don't be overly concerned. We have the manager of the season. We have the left-back in the team of the season. I think we're still the joint top goal scorers in the league with 85, also having played a game less than some of those around us. We know what we need to do at this time of the season, as we proved this time last year with those three games. And as I said earlier, if you'd have said to any of us, you'll be in your own hands going into the last week of the season, 9 points will get you to the Premier League, then 100% we all would have taken it. What a time to be a Town fan. Going through all this emotional stuff is part of the game. It's why we're football fans. It's why we love this club. And Richard, join with me in the final sign-off. 3-2-1. Come on, you Blues!
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.